We're continuing with Tehillim, the 37th chapter, the 23rd pasuk. Me Adonai mitzad gever konanu v'darko yechpatz. Me Hashem, from Hashem mitzad gever konanu, the footsteps of the human being are set. Mitzad gever, what does gever mean? Gever could mean a human being. Gever could mean a gibor, a person who is a mighty person. Who do we view as a mighty person in Judaism? Gibor koveshet yitzro. Gibor is one who overpowers his desire, who takes control of himself. That's the greatest challenge in life. Me Hashem mitzadei gever konanu. Hashem helps to set the footsteps of the brave warrior, the man who masters himself. V'darko yechpatz, and Hashem desires the success of his path. So Hashem helps him succeed. When does Hashem help him succeed? When he is a gever, when he is a gibor, when he is a yirei Hashem, when he is a God-fearing person. Ki yipol lo yutahal, ki Adonai somech yado. Even if he falls, he won't be completely down. Ki yipol, even if he tilts, even if he falls. Lo yutal, he will not be thrown all the way to the ground. Ki Hashem somech yado, because Hashem supports him. And this is an important point. People think if I'm doing what's right and God's going to help me to have it work out right, then I'm never going to fall. No. Life is about falling and getting back up. Life isn't about keeping on going up. Just like we discussed, the graphs and stocks. No stock just goes up. It's going to go down and then it'll go up. It'll go up and then it'll go down. But nothing just goes one way. All of life is about ups and downs and ups and downs. That's the way it works. And the key is to keep getting back up. That's when you're a success. And success isn't about having a straight line shooting up. It doesn't happen. No such thing.
You have to really have strength to get up. It's not just Napati Kanti. You can
have a lot sometimes. Hashem somech yado. But one of the keys to getting back up is recognizing that the fall isn't terrible.
Sometimes it's so hard to see that.
It is hard. It's for sure hard.
It's impossible sometimes.
Correct. I was just thinking, I didn't want to mention it before, but now you're bringing us to another interesting point. If we say to be a gever is to be a gibor, and to be a gibor is koveshet yitzro, and to be a gibor is yirei Hashem, what's the greatest might? To conquer oneself. Well, sometimes we need external help to conquer ourselves. And external help could come in many different forms, but we live in an age where Baruch Hashem, people have overcome certain stigmas. Once upon a time, if a person needed help, there was a stigma. Today, the stigma exists less and less. And there's nothing wrong with getting help. And what?
It's even fashionable to get help. It's fashionable to get help.
Today, it's fashionable, yeah. Yeah, but you got to get the right person. It's not that's not easy either. But at the end of the day, yes, if this is the greatest strength, then it's legitimate that a person needs help. The Navi even says that Avraham Avinu needed help. You see, when Avraham Avinu had the challenge of doing the circumcision, he also needed help. In many different challenges in life, it's normal that a person needs help and gets help. Na'al hayiti gam zakanti velo raiti tzadik ne'ezav v'zaro mevakesh lachem. David HaMelech says, Na'al hayiti. I was a youngster. Gam zakanti. I've aged as well. And as much as I've viewed and I've been watching long term, what happens to the righteous? V'lo ra'iti tzadik ne'ezav. And I never saw a righteous that completely fell down and was completely destroyed. V'zarom mevakesh lachem, to the point where his children had to beg for bread. I never saw someone fall all the way down that far when he was really righteous. Okay, so here again comes back the question. How many people do you really know if they're righteous or not? That's one of the questions in the book of Job. Job claims he's righteous. His friends say, no, you're not. That's also a question. How do you gauge who's righteous and who isn't? But we don't have to gauge other people. That was David HaMelech who did that. How he did that is a good question. But we have to gauge ourselves. We have to know that at the end of the day, David HaMelech says, you do what's right, and although there will be ups and there will be downs, but Hashem won't let a person fall all the way down. Kol hayom chonenu malveh v'zaro livracha. Kol Hayom, the hallmark of the righteous, he's always having compassion and helping and lending others. Vizaro, and he's planting livracha, he's planting future blessings. That's the hallmark of the righteous. That's the whole book of Les Miserables, right? Whole big fat book. That's the whole idea behind it. The man leads a righteous life, and his favors always come back to help him. All the kindness he does, he's planting. Vizaro livracha. Instead of, in the previous pasuk, he said, the tzaddik is never in a situation of zaro mevakesh lachem, where his seed requires bread. And what he does do is, he plants seeds of blessings wherever he goes. Part of this, by the way, is a good reputation. That's also a planting blessing for the future. Yeah?
I don't understand if you meant this or not. So you're saying if we see someone, Arshel Lechem, means that it's not a tzaddik?
I don't think it's our job to gauge. I don't know. But I don't think that's our job. We could ask a lot of questions. There are a lot of things we could ask on this pasuk, but I don't know if that's our job.
No, it's Shabbat, and spend Shabbat in Marcus. I don't know if you know, there's a big family of cats. So the rabbi said it. So I ate there last week, and he said the week before, there's this lady that in the middle of Birkat HaMazon just screamed and said, no, this is a lie, you know? This is a lie. He told her this pasuk, and then she was explaining why. I don't remember his answer. Then he gave a good answer.
Yeah, this pasuk bothered me for many years too. When I came to Tels, so I'm coming to yeshiva where they're learning lamdas and everything, and I went to the Rosh Yeshiva and I said, how could you say in benching, how could you say noten lechem chol basar, God gives food to all flesh, there are people dying of hunger, how could you say that? And also in benching we say Hazan et hakol, Hashem feeds everyone. Wait, what about the people dying of hunger? I remember that was what bothered me when I came to Telz. Okay, so with time you learn, but over here too, I don't think it's our job to judge, and I think also part of the question is who is the tzaddik. There's another point here that really, if we were learning more deeply, we'd have to delve into. The pasuk says, "I never saw a tzaddik completely destroyed, so that his children would have to seek out bread." So the fact that the children don't need bread is a reflection of the father. So if the father were wicked, then the children wouldn't need to seek out bread. Meaning, we're not blaming the children. We're saying, I never saw someone righteous whose children had to seek out bread. What does that mean? Saying the pasuk is a pasuk that requires a lot of work. We could spend the rest of the night learning about this pasuk. We're touching on Tehillim. We're touching on the psukim and getting a glimpse, an overview, one shot in the psukim. But the truth is that this pasuk requires a lot of work. Chazal Bichlal, the Talmud says this pasuk isn't David HaMelech speaking. David wasn't so old. The Talmud says in Yevamis, this is the world is talking in this pasuk. So again, you have to ask, okay, so what's the world saying?
Okay, but it doesn't need to be old. You can say Gam Zakanti. So it was West from of writing Gam Zakanti was not old already.
Okay.
I should remember the answer up front. Machlis. It was about one of the answers. One of our jobs is also for us to the Tikkun Olam. So if we see someone that doesn't have money, help him. So we can help everybody.
I think there's a lot to discuss here, but say that. Let's try to finish the perek. Kol hayom chonenu malvehe vizaro livracha. He's always giving, he's always lending, and his children, his seed is really blessing. He keeps planting blessing in the world. Sumera va'asei tov ushchon olam. Okay, famous pasuk. David HaMelech tells us, what's the formula for life? Sumera va'asei tov. Turn from bad and do good. These are two things that a person has to focus on in life. To turn away from that which is bad, and to be active in producing good. One of the challenges, one of the things that, well, Ari isn't here. You could tell him we mentioned his name. When Ari was here the first time, this is the second time Ari is with us. When Ari was here the first time, he used to head a program where guys would go and volunteer on Fridays in the soup kitchen. And I'm a big fan. I think that a lot of what we're doing in Machon Meir is about Sur Meira, fixing that which is wrong, trying to perfect ourselves, become better people, to stop doing that which we were doing, which is improper. Sur Meira. But a person also has to do Asei Tov. Part of growth is also to be active in doing good. It's not enough to stop doing that which is bad. I also have to be a producer in the world. I have to be producing good. I have to be a source of good in the world. And they're both important. And it's not like they're two stages in life. People say, okay, now I'll focus on this, then I'll focus on that. No, they go hand in hand. The Hasidim even say, Sur Meira, how do you turn away from doing bad? Through doing good. If you focus on doing good, so then you become a positive person. You'll end up stopping to do that, which is bad. Okay, so we don't understand that as being the simple reading of the pasuk. The simple reading of the pasuk is that they are two stages, but they're both important stages, and they go hand in hand. Ushchon leolam, and then you'll be able to live forever. A guy who knows his neighbors love him, so then even when he leaves the house, he knows they're keeping an eye out for him. A guy who knows his neighbors hate him, so what's he going to do? He's living in... What? Suddenly things disappear, right? Yeah, and it depends on how he behaves. Yeah. Ki Adonai ohev mishpat v'lo yazov et chasidav. Leolam nishmaru vezera reshaim nichrat, because Hashem likes justice. Ki Hashem ohev mishpat. Hashem likes justice, and Hashem pays people back according to the way they've been behaving. Velo yazov et chasidav. Hashem doesn't forsake his pious ones. Leolam nishmaru. Hashem watches them forever. But the seed, the planting of the wicked, that Hashem cuts down. The wicked also plant. They also have plots. They also have thoughts. And Hashem finds ways to cut it down. Tzadikim yirishu haaretz v'yishkenu la'ad aleham. The tzadikim ultimately inherit the land, and they live for eternity. It doesn't mean they. It's their actions. It's their impact. It's their continuation. Pitzadik yege chokhmah ulshono tidaber mishpat. The mouth of the righteous speaks in wisdom. Pitzadik yege chokhmah. He always analyzes things from an honest perspective, from a smart perspective, from the Torah's perspective, and so his thoughts are wise and his speech is wise. Pitzadik yege chokhmah. His mouth speaks wisdom, ulshonot edaber mishpat, and his tongue speaks out in fairness. What he says that which is fair. Torat Elohav belibo lo timad ashurav. He, because the Torah of Hashem is in his heart, therefore his footsteps don't slip. Sofer rasha la tzadik umvakesh lahamito. And you should know that the wicked are looking out for the righteous, and they're looking how to kill him. Adonai lo yazvenu v'yado v'lo yarshienu b'yishafito. And Hashem won't leave him into his hands. Even though the wicked might take him to court, Hashem won't let him be victorious. He won't let his libel succeed. Kavei el Adonai ushmol darko. V'romimcha l'reshet haaretz b'ikaret reshaim tireh. Kavei el Hashem. Hope for Hashem that He will let you succeed, because it's not easy. There are always people who are trying to bring you down. Ushmo darko, and watch Hashem's path. Don't succumb to doing like your competition. Don't succumb to cheating like them. V'romimcha l'reshit haaretz. And then Hashem will uplift you and you will succeed. B'karet reshaim tireh. And you'll see the wicked being cut down. Now, here again, we have to point out, David HaMelech speaks about a world where everything's perfect, everything works out. The Talmud refines all of this. The Talmud says, wait, in which situations was David HaMelech talking about? Here we said the righteous won't be brought down by the wicked. The Talmud says, what happens if someone spreads a libel about someone else? Then will it stick? Won't it stick? When will it stick? When won't it stick? And the Talmud says, it depends. If he really did it, if he didn't do it, if he thought of doing it, if he saw others and was happy when they did it. Meaning, depending on what a person did, and God knows what a person really did, that can very often cause why be the cause that in heaven they will let a libel stick. They will let a person have his name dragged through the dirt even though he didn't do anything bad.
It doesn't believe in libels,
they
can be wicked. So they can.
Oh, so Talmud says if there's someone who's just trying to spread his bad name, then that's the reason. And there's nothing to do with anything from above. But look, Yosef HaTzadik, all of Egypt was talking about how he tried to seduce his master's wife. There's an argument in the Talmud whether he did or didn't. Not seduce, but at least sin with her. So, if he entertained the thought, that would be reason enough, the Talmud says. The Talmud isn't talking about him, the Talmud is talking in general about how God runs the world. So the Talmud says that sometimes God will let a person's reputation be tarnished, even though the person didn't do it, but he thought of doing it. So that, according to that line in Talmud, so Yosef deserved to have his name tarnished. God automatically brought another political upheaval to keep people busy talking about something else, so they wouldn't be talking about Yosef. But I'm saying David's describing that the wicked, when they try to slander the righteous, won't be successful. And the Talmud says, well, it doesn't exactly work like that. Sometimes it's like this, sometimes like that. David HaMelech is talking in specific situations. If you're completely righteous, when David HaMelech says righteous, it means someone who's righteous to the degree that he never thought of doing it, never wanted to do it, never saw others who were doing it, and thought, good for them. It's a level of righteousness that David's talking about when he says, the righteous will not fall in the hands of the wicked, they won't be successful in slandering them.
So, but it equates to action?
No.
So, if a person, if it's not that they don't think about something, do it is forbidden, so why the monarch gives almost the same weight as doing it?
It's not the same weight.
Okay, but if someone believes in slander or libel because someone had the thought to do something wrong, something forbidden, that's not forbidden. It's just thinking.
I'm not sure. Okay. Now, the first step to sinning is thinking about sin.
Okay, but he can cover himself and not with the action. He can
fine.
The action.
Okay, but you understand that there's a level that a person is supposed to attain where the thought is not there. And if he's not attaining that level, so there's an aspect, you could look at it in one of two ways. You could look at it as, okay, he's being lackadaisical, so he didn't do it, so then it's not that something was done, it's just the reputation, which is obviously harmful. But so is the thought. Or you could look at it the other way, that there's special intervention on God's behalf to prevent something from happening. Well, you have to be on a special level to merit that intervention.
Can I give examples? Let's say the king when they can. No, someone told me.
The Gemara says. Fine, but the
it's not and when they might sin, when if they are being served non kosher food, and I don't know, so. I was studying with that with someone.
Sure.
Right. Mm-hmm. So the question is, what about Sarah when she was abducted by Aimelech? Everybody thought the son was for Aimelech. And everybody believed that she was.
I'm sorry, but I'm unaware of a source that says what you just said.
What?
I'm aware of a source that says Leitzanei Hadol said it. I'm unaware of a source that says everyone thought it.
What's this? He probably meant.
Look at Rashi.
Again.
Rashi says the Joker said it. That Rashi doesn't say everyone said it. There's another Medrash that says the king's wives all wondered, is it really true? They, even they didn't say it was from Avimelech.
So what does this mean, Joker? Is it people that they're like Avraham?
There are always people who try to find a way of bad-mouthing things.
So why Torah brought proved that Yitzchak was not with Abraham?
That's a good question, but not for now. Later on, Thursday night, we can discuss it. Not now. Oh, you see, we've gone way off topic. You want to ask something? You, Mr. Proto?
No.
Okay.
If somebody in Abraham's position came and was saying the Arab, I mean, I understand there is a time difference, but he came to, there was a Beitin. The Beitin probably also decided, the assumption is that the kid is not his.
Why do you say that?
Years old, the year now 100 years old, we can assume that the miracle didn't happen, and that the your son is a mountain.
Let's analyze this. Number one, Avimelech claimed he never touched Sarah. Number two, Sarah claimed Avimelech never touched Sarah. So you're telling me that a court would say something happened even though both people say it didn't happen? And if you're going to go by the rules of nature, so the rules of nature were that this woman didn't have a period, and for years now she didn't have a period. She was already way past menopause. So if you're talking about the rules of nature, then I don't think Sarah should have been pregnant altogether. But I'll tell you, I think we've gone way off topic. I'll be happy to discuss this after we finish the chapter of Tehillim. No, these are all valid points. Let's get back to them in 10 minutes. Yeah.
So, I don't know, somebody here brought up some of people eating kosher meat even if they didn't know. How would God do that?
Okay, so let's wait. I'll be happy to get back to that.
I didn't bring the food. Oh my God.
Let's get back to that. Okay.
Because he wasn't sick.
So again, David the Melech said in Pasuk Lamedalit, Kaveh Hashem Ushmo Darko, your hope should be in Hashem, watch Hashem's way, V'romimcha L'Reshet Aretz, God will uplift you to ultimately inherit the land, B'karet Hashem Tiren, you'll see the wicked being cut off, you'll see yourself having a continuum, and you'll see them without a continuum. Ra'iti, again, like we keep stressing, life is a big formula. There are a lot of factors in the formula. There are a lot of factors as to why something does or does not happen. David HaMelech is talking about one aspect of the formula. You'll be righteous, then that puts you on track for this. A person learns the Gemara says, you say Ashrei three times a day, you'll get the world to come. Great, so I don't have to say Shema in the morning, right? Ah, that's biblical, that's rabbinic. Okay, fine, but I get the world to come. Obviously, what the Talmud's telling you is that this has a special weight in meriting the world to come. It's not that this is a panacea, this is a cure-all, that's it. Say Ashrei three times a day, you're fit for life. Obviously, the Talmud doesn't mean this is a cure-all. The Talmud means this has a special weight. And the same thing with David HaMelech here. David HaMelech says, being a righteous person has a special weight, and there are many calculations in God's world. But you should know that the general weight of being a righteous person is that Hashem gives you a continuum in the world. Ra'iti rasha aritz umitare kezrach hanan. David HaMelech says, I saw a powerful, wicked person, and he seemed to be firmly implanted for a long time, as though he were a flourishing citizen, as though he were a flourishing tree, filled with everything good, anything you could imagine he seemed to have. And then, David Amel says, Vayavor, and he passed from the world, and suddenly he's gone. And I seeked him out, couldn't find him. He says, yeah, sometimes it seems like he's there for good. He's there to stay. He's got everything backing him. And it's going to work. Look, take the period in David's great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandson, Chizkiyahu. Chizkiyahu is king. Inside the city, there's a man named Shevna. Shevna has 100,000 people behind him inside Jerusalem. And he's told these people, we're going to give the city over to Sennacherib, the Assyrian king. And he sends emissaries to Sennacherib. And inside the city itself, Chizkiyahu knows that the majority of the city is with Shevna. And Shevna has contrived to give the city over to the Assyrian Empire. So Chizkiyahu turns to God and he says, what am I supposed to do? Maybe God, you also agree with the majority. And God says, I don't count wicked. They don't count. When I'm taking a vote, they don't have a vote. It's like when we'd be in class. So our Rebbe would say, let's have a vote if we should have recess. Now I say no. He picks up his hands. And then we'd all say, yeah, but we say yes. And he'd say, you guys are too young to vote. Okay. So God tells Chizkiyahu, they're too young to vote. Wicked don't, their vote doesn't count. Now if you'd look at Shevna, Shevna was already preparing a burial plot in the king's plots. Shevna was already preparing the crown. Shevna was already considered king by all the people. They all figured he's taking the control of the city. And he had the majority of the people behind him. And then the Navi Yeshaya comes and tells Shevna, what are you thinking? You really think you're going to be up here? Well, God doesn't like you. You're not going to succeed. And Shevna leaves the city to bring 100,000 men out to Sanherit, the king of the Assyrian Empire. And God has a fluke happen. The gates close behind him. And Shevna's left standing outside and all his men are inside. And they can't get the gates open. And Shevna has 100,000 men left inside the city. Now he's standing outside all alone and there's a siege. So the Assyrian soldiers grab him. And he says, no, guys, don't grab me. What are you kidding? I sent a letter. I told the Assyrian king I'm bringing him 100,000 men. So they brought him to the king. So the king says, where are your 100,000 men? So he says, you won't believe it. The door's closed behind me. They're still inside. Da-da-da. King says, you're right, I won't believe him. And they skinned him. They skinned him alive. They attached him to horses and they dragged him around the streets and they killed him. A very gruesome death. He got, his bones were scattered all over. He was buried like a dog. Ah, a day ago, he was the one in charge. It seemed like he was indestructible. Chizkiyahu himself said, what am I going to do? How am I going to win? And God said, don't worry. But he's already has everything. He has the people. He has the clout. He has the politics. He has Sancheirav outside the wall waiting for him to come. Yeah. In one day, everything changes. Perfect. David HaMelech continues, Pasuk Lamed Zayin. Shemol Tam, U'ei Yashar, Ki Acharit Le'ish, Shalom. Shemol Tam, look at the way of those that are whole. One of the ways in which a person can learn a trait, can acquire a trait, is by looking at others who have it. David HaMelech says, Shemol Tam, try to keep the way of those that are whole. Look around you, look at the people that are fair, that are honest. U'ei Yashar. David HaMelech says, and look at those that are honest. Kiacharit le'ish shalom. Kiacharit le'ish shalom. David HaMelech says, because there is a future, there is hope for a person who seeks out peace. Whoever behaves honestly with others, who's fair with others, he has an acharit, he has hope. And now we're coming to the end of the chapter. David HaMelech sums it all up. He says, Ufosheim nishmedu yachad. But those who are wicked, those who try to hurt others, they find themselves together as they fall together. Acharit reshaim nichata. And the hope of the wicked is just to be cut down. That's where they're headed. Uteshuat tzadikim ne'adonai ma'uzam de'etzaram. The salvation of the righteous is from Hashem. He is their strength at a time that things go bad. They have what to rely on. Vayazrem Adonai vayfaletim. Hashem helps them. He rescues them. Yefaletim merishaim veyoshiyehim kichasuvo. Hashem rescues them from the wicked. Hashem saves them because their hope was in Him. And that's one of the difficult things in life, to maintain our hope in Hashem, to remember that He's running the show. That is the message of the whole chapter. So why don't we do two things? We'll quickly review the chapter while maybe Shimon will give out pizza to everyone. Okay, so everyone will stay in their seat and Shimon will give everyone a slice and we'll quickly review the chapter. David began the chapter by saying that a person shouldn't be jealous of those that are evil. Shimon, give it out now. People are hungry. It's not fair. It's just tempting them. Don't be jealous, he says, of those that do evil. Shlomo, let Shimon give it out. Don't be jealous of those that do evil because they get cut down. They're like the vegetable that dries out. I have faith in Hashem, and that's the recurring theme in the chapter. That when a person has faith in Hashem, he's honest and he's fair, and then he ultimately enjoys life more, and Hashem helps him. Rely on Hashem that He'll help you out, and He'll help you your justice be known. Sometimes you have to wait in patience, but the recurring point is, but don't be jealous of those that are quick to succeed, because you'll see that they are cut down. If you have hope, your hope is in Hashem. If your faith is in Hashem, you'll see that you will ultimately succeed and the others will not. Yes, we see the wicked sometimes plotting to take down the righteous, but Hashem laughs at that. Hashem won't let them succeed. They'll be hurting themselves. The way of the righteous is that they don't desire too much. They're happy with the little that they have, and they're happier with what they have than the masses of the wicked. And although the wicked seems strong, Hashem breaks down that strength. Hashem watches over the way we lead our lives, and that's the idea that ultimately the righteous, they and their children, they don't go hungry. The wicked, on the other hand, what they can't steal, they borrow without paying, and the hallmark of the tzaddik is that he's happy to give and he's happy to lend. Hashem watches over the life we lead, and su merava seitov. Turn away from bad and do good. It goes hand in hand. Don't think I'll steal $1 million and I'll donate $1 million. No. Su merava seitov. You have to turn away from that which is bad and you do good. It goes hand in hand. The righteous are not only righteous for themselves, but they speak honestly. They speak with wisdom because Hashem's Torah is in their heart. And David HaMelech concludes the chapter and says, remember, the salvation of the righteous is from Hashem. He is their strength in bad times, and He will rescue them from the wicked too. And the reasoning behind it is, if they have faith in Him, so He will help them too.